There's a great deal of talk about cultured or cultivated meat these days, but what exactly is this emerging food trend and how available is it to consumers? Today on Tag Talks, I, your host, Lisa Lupo, discuss the trend with Tag's Senior Manager of Food Safety, Lily Yang, who has been working with clients in this area. Welcome, Lily.
Hi everyone, nice to be here.
Always great to have you. So let's start with the basics. What is the difference between plant-based and cultivated meat?
Okay, so plant-based is, as you might think, plant-based. So in this case, often plant-based meats would come from a plant form, be the transformation of some type of plant or mushroom type material. Inherently, for this, there should be no meat proteins involved. On the other hand, cultivated meat, cell culture meat, however you want to nomenclature it as it comes to your head, is meat that is grown in a lab, a bioreactor. Basically, what we do is we take cells from animal cells or seafood cells, as we'll talk about, and you kind of coax it to grow. This encompasses many forms, not only red meats like your beef, your pork, even I think bison is one of those that are happening out there right now, but also poultry products, obviously chicken, and also the seafood realm too, be that in tuna, be that in salmon, or any other type of seafood, even shrimp. Inherently, with this process, like we kind of just mentioned, cells are extracted from an animal. They may be dead or alive, and then coaxed to grow into what you may be looking for. So, in some cases, some companies now are trying to go for larger cuts of meat that are generalized cuts, right? While other companies are looking to cultivate like specific cuts of meat. So, this might be fattier cuts of meat or fattier cuts of seafood versus others that, may make more the prime rib flavors and the prime rib style and texture than, let's say, just chicken breast, for example, right? And in consumer perception, cultivated meat, when you say lab grown meat, it does sound kind of weird, but I promise all of this is within the science.
Okay. So, do food safety practices for cultivated meat differ from those for traditional meats? And if so, how?
Oof. Okay. So that is such a loaded question, Lisa. And thank you for asking it. I'm just going to go over a few things that we've definitely been seeing, especially with the clients that we have supported and what we've just been hearing about as well. So, food safety practices definitely differ between your traditional meat seafood market versus the cultivated meat side, right? Of course, we're going to talk really briefly on the regulatory side of it, traditional meat products, with exceptions, of course. Because there's always exceptions, are
Of course.
generally USDA regulated. Seafood
Okay.
products, as we already know, is under FDA seafood HACCP. So in that case, it is FDA regulated. On the other hand, cultivated meats as a whole production of it can actually and most likely will fall under the jurisdiction of both. And we'll talk about that. But in traditional meat products, as one would think, you got to have it grown in the field, brought in, harvested. We got all our practices, either farm management practices, seafood management practices that must be followed. You got your GMPs, your HACCP programs, et cetera, right? But cultivated meat has its own set of food safety practices that are different and may also be stuff that we may not have thought about. For one, the environment that cultivated meat is grown in must be well controlled. Not only can
Okay.
this super delicate and incredibly sensitive space that the meat is grown in be easily and accidentally tampered with. So if you've ever heard about like cell culture work with mouse cells, you got to make sure everything is kept very clean. So too can the cells that we're trying to make the meat with be easily contaminated. There are also differences in the inputs. This might be ingredients, this might be materials that you are using, this might even be like equipments that are used that you got to pay attention to, especially in the cell culture world, right? And as cell culture world expands, driven strongly by the tech world, the farmer world, and startup vibes out there, it is imperative too that the inputs that are going into producing these cell culture proteins are validated and verified for use. For example, of course, it's really important to understand like your source animal, be it the fish, seafood, shrimp, or even your meat, your beef, your chicken, thinking through all the potential biological, be that bacterial, viral, parasitic, prion-based hazards out there. It's important also to know what antibiotics are being used, not only in your process as you keep growing the cells, right? Because you don't want nastiness to grow. So, we add antibiotics, but theoretically speaking, you're not supposed to have any antibiotics that any of us as humans ultimately should be able to consume, right? Another thing that has come up fairly frequently in our discussions is we all think of grass, right? Generally recognized as safe products by the FDA. Something that people don't always think about though, is just because something is grass does not mean that it is food safe. So grass and food safe are not synonymous, which is kind of weird, right? Because you'd be like, well, if it's generally recognized as safe, shouldn't I just be able to eat it? But like, that's just not always the case. Additionally, there is a misconception that some ingredients that are considered pharma grade are also not necessarily food grade or food safe, despite any preconceived notions that the production of pharma grade ingredients are under more stringent requirements. It is imperative, therefore, for companies to recognize that the two are also, like we talked about with grass, not synonymous, and ingredients and equipment and tools or any of these aspects of inputs that go into the cell cultivation process should be food grade, not pharma grade, right? Just because, again, just because it's one doesn't mean it's the other. Something else that has also slowly we've been seeing in the discussions is the rise of microplastics. And this is interesting, right? Because there is the news has talked a lot about microplastics recently, and there is the potential of microplastics being part of the input process, either from the animals, from the cell proliferation process, and also because, you know, we want to maintain sterility, right? You don't want the cell that is other cells that are not the cells we're looking for to grow. A lot of companies may be using one-time use plastic tools, right? And equipment. And of course, you know, when you agitate and whatnot, there is always the potential for shedding of the plastic material. So that's something to be cognizant of. And something that's also really been forefront and kind of alludes to what we talked about with the grass and making sure things are food grade is that a lot of companies nowadays, even in the cell culture space, right? They're exploring new ingredient sources, reagent, even new processes. We need to make sure that all of these are evaluated for their true safety and potential hazards, be that biological, chemical, physical, and even potential allergenicities of these new ingredient sources and reagents. So to that, food safety is important in the basic aspects. And at another conversation later, when we have more time, we could talk about what that looks like in the production and manufacturing space.
Okay. So you did mention that there's USDA regulated, there's FDA regulated. So how does all that fit in with this as well?
Yikes. Okay. I love this question. And we're going to like try to keep this as succinct as possible, right?
Okay.
So back in 2019, as cultivated meat production began to blow up and take off, USDA FISIS, which is the USDA Food Safety Inspection Services, and the FDA had to come together to have a formal agreement about what they would do to work together to, quote, ensure that foods compromising or containing cultured animal cells entering the U.S. market are safe and properly labeled. Makes total sense, right? But in practice, it's a little more complex. So FDA is responsible for things that are related to live animals themselves until they're ready for slaughter in some aspects. And in other aspects, the USDA still is part of that, right? Like the slaughter, processing, packaging, and labeling. But like we talked about with seafood, for example, seafood falls solely because it as a process already falls under FDA's purview, continues to remain in FDA's purview. For those who may be cultivating meat, half their process up until the growing of the like whatever meats you have, again, depending on the type of meat, right? Because some meats are also under FDA. The growing of said meats to the slaughter may be USDA controlled. And then once it comes into your facility to start proliferating your cells, that's under FDA. And then when it comes out, it's pooped out as a product, well, not pooped out, excuse me. When it comes out as, you know, a patty or whatever you're looking for there, then the labeling of that may become back to the USDA. So it kind of really depends, right? Which makes it a little difficult. So luckily, bless me, the FDA does provide pre-market consultation. And we highly, 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 asterisk, asterisk, question mark, like exclamation mark, recommend companies start having these discussions as soon as possible, right? Okay. Because at some point you got to bring the USDA's conversation into this as well.
So if I'm interested in trying this meat, is it currently available to consumers?
Eek. Okay, so yes. Yes and no. The answer is yes, no. On one hand, yes, there are companies who have been approved by the U.S. government to sell this kind of meat. And if you happen to live in the limited market that they are currently in production, you will be able to access. However, for the rest of us who may be living far, far away from the tech worlds out there, it may be a while, because it turns out that like commercialization on the larger scale is definitely still where the cultivated meat sector is still in its infancy, right? Just because you can produce things in small amounts don't mean that we can make it suddenly exponentially larger. And so that is currently the status of where we're at. But if you're in one of those test markets, you should find out where they might be.
That sounds great. So Lily, how is TAG currently helping clients who produce these meats?
Oh, I love it. TAG can support clients across the entirety of the process, from the planning discussions, even if this idea is still in your head in its infancy, all the way through the pre-market consultation approval process, all the way through scaling up and the manufacturing process. TAG has and can, or can and has, supported clients with aligning their physical spaces to be hygienically designed, right? And to use all the right principles there, and align with best industry practices all the way through their quality and food safety management systems and production, as well as helping with food safety plan development, prerequisite program development, and implementation as well. We also support in the scale-up process, and we always work alongside our clients and you to ensure that the creation and production process continues to ensure regulatory compliance while producing a safe and viable product for the consumers. So
that's
all of
great.
It.
Yes. Yeah, right. All of us are consumers. So
definitely.
Thank you so much, Lily. That was a fantastic overview, kind of start to finish, in a new trend that I think a lot of people don't really know a whole lot about. So that was very, very good to hear. I learned some myself. So wonderful.
Definitely. Thank you for having me on.
Yes. And I want to thank our viewers for joining us today for another TAG Talks from the Etchison Group. Be sure to click through the TAG Talks playlist for more on food safety and public health topics, and also click subscribe and the notifications bell to stay informed. Thank you.
Thank you.